Ministers need to be humbly aware that God works in ways outside of one given approach to preaching. Welcome to our SermonCoach.com podcast for today. That's the key sentence. Ministers need to be humbly aware that God works in ways outside of one given approach to preaching. We're so glad you joined us for today. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. As we always do, we're talking with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, what do you do when you listen to someone preach and you can't discern what the person's subject is or the desired response and no how-to is given?
I'll give two illustrations, okay? If I get involved in the first one and forget the second one, remind me.
Okay.
I listened to a gentleman preach a month and a half, and maybe it's been 2 months. Time goes quickly. His style is what I would call stream of consciousness. It's not that he's not prepared because he manuscripts his sermons, so I know that he's put time into it, but I cannot discern what the subject is. I've heard him preach probably, I'm guessing, 15 times. He came to the end. Usually he doesn't give an invitation. He came to the end of the time he was preaching. I would guess there were probably, it was somewhere between 100 and 150 people there. He was the guest. He kept speaking, and I kept trying to say, now, what is he talking about? I'm pretty good at being able to pick that. I could not figure out what he was talking about. When he came to the end, he said, I feel led to give an invitation. And if you have heard the Lord speaking to you, I want you to come down to the front. It will be hard because I've been preaching passionately. And I thought to myself, should I go down? And then I thought, no, because I'm not really sure what I'm hearing or what I'm responding to. And I doubt whether anybody's going to come because it just wasn't that clear. He said, I won't have any music, and I'm not going to prolong this. If you want to come, you have to come immediately. Bam! We're a good 35, 40 people, tearfully. And when they got to the front, one person just stretched out prone on the floor. Another person was kneeling. Most of them were standing. And there was just this amazing response. Now, I don't know how to explain that. And was that emotionalism? No. He had said something. He talked about a lot of different topics. But somehow the Holy Spirit had spoken in a powerful way. I do not know how to explain that. But I know that the Lord worked. I know that I would go back and listen to him again. I know that if I would say to him, this is what I would do, I would come up with a clear subject. He would say yes, and I don't think he would even understand. And he would continue to put the pieces together the way he does. And I have come to the place where I think I won't ever say anything to him. He likes me. He knows me. We've never had a long conversation, but he always thanks me for coming. It's amazing, absolutely amazing to me. Now, does that mean that what I teach people doesn't have any value? No. I think what I teach has great value. And that would be the second illustration that I was going to give, where I heard another gentleman speak. I don't think I've ever heard more Bible verses quoted. It was amazing to me how many Bible verses he quoted. And I admired him for his memorization of the word. It wasn't what his topic was. When it was all done, I would say that it was one of the most boring mornings I've ever listened to. And I don't know how in the world this gentleman keeps his church alive because there aren't that many people there to even sustain the building and sustain the salaries and everything. And if he asked me for help, first thing that I would do would be to say, I'm not sure what your subject is when you talk, and I don't think you know what it is. Now, I listened to you, and let's go back to this last sermon, and, you know, where was it? Where did you tell me? And I think you need to get that in mind, because otherwise your people don't know what you're talking about, if you don't know what you're talking about. So is my teaching going to be valuable to him? Yes, be very valuable. When I say all of that, it doesn't mean that what I have to say isn't of value, but it also means to me that my way is not the only way. So the Lord can work in powerful ways, totally apart from anything that I would say, violating a lot of the principles that I believe in dearly. So I don't think all people have to put a sermon together the same way I do. At the same time, if anybody asks me for help, I'm going to teach them the way I know, because it certainly has serviced me in a most meaningful way, okay?
If you were in a small town and you had no options but one, it was this person's preaching or nobody's, what would you do?
I would still go. And I would say, I have some things that I can learn from this person. And rather than me thinking I'm always the teacher, I need to be able to say, teach me. Because you're obviously doing something that is very wonderful here. And I don't understand what is bringing about this? I think I would evaluate, because I can't stop evaluating. I would say, are these people over a period of time becoming drawn closer to the Lord? My guess is that the answer would be yes, they are. I don't understand all of that. I don't think I would start a new church. You know, I'm too old to do that, and I don't think if it's a small town that we need another church. I would probably go, and I would probably say, Lord, you are a very strange God. How in the world you put me in this man's congregation, and I can't go anywhere else? I don't understand, but maybe I think too much of my own methodology. Maybe I need to learn. But I would also chafe, and I would say, God, I'm praying for him, and he still doesn't. You know, he's opening your word. We've spent a whole month now in Romans, and nobody knows what Romans is about. Maybe that doesn't matter. You know, maybe it doesn't matter because his ministry is effective and we have people coming to the Lord. I think that's the worst question that you've ever asked me in all the times we've been together, Dean. I could feel the pain. I don't know what I would do.
I think sometimes in life, especially when God gives insight, and I think without a question of a doubt, he's given you insight into this method of sermon development, which you've used for many, many, many years, and which was proven very effective in your role at Circle Church, and then through the radio broadcast and television broadcast, and many tens of thousands of pastors have found effective, that there still needs to be a place to recognize that God is the one who works. Maybe I say this with a chuckle, because maybe if you hadn't been there that day, things wouldn't have been the way they were. In other words, the invitation would have been given and no one would have come. But God used that as an opportunity to remind you the very thing that you're talking about. We hold what God has given us with open hands, and we don't grasp them to our chest, because they're not ours, they're his. And this method that we try to teach pastors, because we know it works, it's really not ours any more than anything that we have is ours. It's all God's. It's all for the sake of making much of Jesus. And so for God to remind us from time to time that we may be the one who he uses in a moment to sow the seed, he's still the God of the harvest. I'm not so sure that that humility isn't a good place for all ministers to be.
You're more a linear thinker, Dean, like I am. I think literally. Because of this, it means this, and it means this, and so on. Not all people think that way. I get along with people who don't think that way. You know, when you come to the church, those are deeply, deeply felt convictions that we have, but I don't have a conviction about my preaching style. I'm attached to it, there's no question that way. So in a way, it's kind of good to bust it up. You know, the truth is, I think that if I'd gone to hear Jesus preach, I'd say, man, I don't know what his subject was sometimes. He's really good at that storytelling stuff, though, man. He doesn't even tie those things up. He just lets it dangle there.
Yeah.
And people go away, and some people get it, and some people don't. And some of us, we're not sure what it was. But is it effective? Yeah, it's effective. So,
and it's effective because it's Jesus. If someone tries to mimic what Jesus did in that regard, the problem they're always going to come up against is they're not Jesus.
And also, he had a problem none of us have here in the States. I mean, the Roman soldiers were coming and listening to him and reporting back, and that was an occupied country. It would be like Muslims being in charge of the United States, and they're listening to everything the minister says. So somehow you're disguising it in a way so they can't pin you down and say, you said such and such. So Jesus has all kinds of problems that I don't have to worry about, and he was masterful. And even then, they still killed him for what he said. They hated him for what he said. So, you know, I have so many luxuries that other people don't have in other parts of the world even now. Are we going to keep talking about our approach to sermonizing? Yeah, we will. Those it helps. And those who are bigger than what our little worlds understand, they'll continue to do things and serve the Lord. Let the Lord be praised in everything.
That's right. Ministers need to be humbly aware that God works in ways outside of one given approach to preaching. We're so glad you joined us for this time together. You found our sermoncoach.com podcast at our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We've placed resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.